Welcome to the Geeks of the North, a hobby gaming podcast in La Belle Provence. This week I'm here with the guys and we're talking about color palettes. So why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio, here with my co-hosts, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
Yomina Meshin.
Hi, guys.
And B. Steve.
Evening, guys.
So how's everyone doing tonight?
Fantastic.
Kind of fantastic. Define that.
Oh, okay. That sounds kind of sarcastic, but it's nice to know that everyone has the same type of days that I do. So, we are sitting here doing some hobby again, because why the hell not? No one commented on it last time, so either no one cares, or no one listened. Either way, we might as well be doing something while we're recording. At least I don't think we got any comments, did we, Antoine?
One person mentioned that it was good for us to have more hobby time.
So there you go.
Well, there you go.
Okay. We have our audience blessing.
But no comments on the audio or anything about if it impacted the recording or what we said.
It's implied.
Wow. Okay. Sorry, I'm distracted by the fact that my female model seems to have a beard. I don't know why.
It's a dwarf?
No.
No
girl?
It's a circus model?
Yeah. Freak show. So I should probably get back on track, and I'll get into why my model's messed up in a second. So this episode, we're going to be discussing... What are we discussing again?
Look at the end of the file.
Okay, yeah. Good. Because I know at least one of the topics... Okay, yes.
Good,
so we have
radio.
Two topics. Yeah, well, excellent radio. Behind the curtains. So first topic is, how do you decide on a paint scheme? So that's pretty self-explanatory. And two, what do you do when you paint? Apparently I podcast. So I'm not painting right now, but, you know. So that's our two main topics. And, of course, we have all our other fun stuff, hobby time, and cool stuff on the web, but not necessarily in that order. and our hobby tip of the episode. And now, back to my model. So I'm looking at the, I think you have one of these, and Antoine as well. The Endless Fantasy Tactics Dragoon Chibi.
Yeah, it's right in front of me right now.
Okay.
Yeah, so, that cool painted one by Jason Turner. Ooh, because of the chibi swaps.
Oh, ooh. Nice. Don't you also have one that I got you at...
Yep.
Or that I got
yep.
from...
Yep, just okay. a luck that he sent me that one. Random.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah, so my Dragoon seems to have, like, some sort of weird textured material hanging off her chin, which I can only assume is flash.
Yes.
But it's textured like hair.
Well, it's so the... I have something, too. It's just the point of contact for the... When you cool the resin, what's in English?
Yeah, it's the
pour the resin.
Yeah,
the vent.
The vent. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I realize that, but it's weird because it's textured like hair, so it looks like, she looks like a billy goat. It's like at the end of her chin. So
okay,
like,
oh, mine doesn't have that texture.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, this is really strange. Like, I'm almost tempted to leave it and leave people wondering, is it a man? Who knows? Yeah, so let's get into hobby time. On that note, with my transgendered dragoons, they are anime inspired, so it could be anyway. So hobby, yeah, I've not had any hobby time since last episode. Work has been hellish. My daughter hates me and doesn't want to go to bed at night. So, and
she loves you too much.
Yeah, exactly, and. World of Warcraft is a cruel taskmaster. So,
oh, no.
Yeah, well, you know, new expansion. I'm re-addicted. But it's okay. It's okay. I got plenty of hobby coming up next week. So, one thing I did, though, is I did teach a one-on-one painting class with an acquaintance of mine, or a friend of mine, from my job, actually. She used to be one of my employees. And her and her boyfriend took up painting miniatures because he got hooked on 40K. So she picked up some, I guess they're called Sylvaneth now? For
Dryads.
Yeah, them. Yeah, we're working on the Dryads, but she'd picked up the Sylvaneth army, or a small, getting started with Sylvaneth box or whatever. And so she wanted to paint some Dryads, and she was having trouble. Because I don't know if you guys remember GW Dryads. They're not what I'd call a great model to start with if you want to try to paint detail.
No, they're not the most detailed model.
They're great for dry brushing and stuff because there's a bunch of wood texture on them.
Yeah.
But to do something interesting, not the best model. And she wanted to paint them like a purpley pink. Inspired by some other video games, plant people. Okay, whatever. But her first attempts didn't go so well because, again, purple and, a light pink is not necessarily an easy color to dry brush properly. And it just didn't come out like she wanted. So she asked me if I could give her some pointers. So we met up and I spent a couple hours teaching her my pseudo Wapol style. And I think it went fairly well.
Well, the result was good looking with eye contrast and good quality. And,
Where have you seen them? I have not seen them.
I was doing it at Gamers Vault the night you guys were there, actually.
Okay.
And Steve kept coming. Well, Steve came by the table a couple times, so he was watching. He came, saw what I was doing or whatever. You didn't see Ryon because you were in the middle of a game, and Yamina left probably around 10 p.m. or something, and you weren't done yet.
Yeah.
So that's all. So it went well. She seemed to be happy. So I did a demo model for her. And then I had her try to duplicate the technique. And it went fairly well. So hopefully it's given her some inspiration and at least a visual reference to help her.
Well, kudos to you, Paul, for spreading the love of the hobby.
Yeah, well, I gotta spread the Wapol DNA. That's how he refers to it, the Wapol DNA and everything.
That sounds weird.
Well, it all depends on how you're spreading it, I suppose.
Yeah. So, what's more context when you say that to other people?
And it depends how you have acquired it as well.
So I gotta be careful around female hobbyists. You're saying don't tell them I want to spread the Wapol DNA.
Yeah.
All depends on the age of the student.
Yeah. Okay, we're just going to change topic now. I'd taken all my Guild Ball models that night as a kind of a reference for the paint style. So she kind of see the end results of what that technique will give you. And my Guild Ball models were all about 3-hour paint jobs, which is a good thing because at the end of the day, as I was leaving the store, I had them in a tray. And I had a bag on my shoulder that fell off my shoulder onto my lower arm, which jerked my hand, which made me dump all my Guild Ball models on the sidewalk. And they're all chipped and broken. I think I've got all the pieces. So that was my fully painted fisherman team.
Wow. On the sidewalk at night? Wow.
Yeah.
You're lucky.
I don't know that I have everything. I haven't looked at them. I threw them all into the tray, and I haven't looked at them since. That also kind of killed my hobby mojo.
It looked like you had everything, though.
Yeah. So, yeah, that... I'm making myself some more hobby effort. Hobby work. That's...
As if you needed that.
Yeah, I was catching up, apparently, or something. Aside from that... I'm actually going back to that for a second. Yeah, so I'd taken the models along to kind of give her an idea of what the paint style would look like on a completed model. Because they do look like I tend to paint very kind of muted. These guys are a little bit different because the bright blues on their cloth kind of give a good contrast. But the painting has a certain style to it. Like my models all, you can tell a model I painted, right?
Yeah.
Which I actually didn't realize until I'd seen Jose that night and I'd shown him some of my models. And Jose is for those listening, is a guy that goes to a gamer that attends the same gaming store as we do. And years ago, we did a painting swap, and I'd painted a model for him for Christmas. And looking at these, he's like, "Yeah, these are the exact same style as the guy who painted me." And I never realized I had a style. But apparently I have a identifiable, like, this was painted by Paul Style. So
cool. You have a signature. Yeah.
Exactly.
Getting big, Mr. Good Enough.
Yeah. It's just ugly enough to be Paul. Yeah. So aside from that, I've been doing some packing and rearranging of my miniatures in my house. Because I had bought a bunch of, you know, those Rubbermaid, like, four-drawer things on wheels?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I bought a bunch of those, and I had miniatures in those. The thing is, the drawers are all different sizes, and it's not a very efficient way to store miniatures. So I went out, and I went to Canadian Tire, and I found a bunch of, like, plastic shoe boxes. I think they're $1.25 each on sale. So I picked up, like, 30 of those. And I've been filling those with miniatures and then stacking them on shelves so I can get a lot more miniatures in a much smaller area. So I've been doing that.
So now you have more room and you can buy more miniature? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, the idea is that I need to make space because the office that's upstairs is going to become my second child's bedroom. So I need to get all my gaming stuff out of there. And I have no place to put the gaming stuff in our storage room / my gaming room. So I need to find some way to condense everything. Plus, my wife's computer is going to come from that room and, with her desk and go into the room where my computer is currently. And then my computer gets relegated to that room, to the gaming room. So, yeah. My gaming room is like an 11 by 11 space. It's very crowded already. And it's about to get more crowded. So I will have stuff stacked to the ceiling at this rate.
It's already stacked to the ceiling.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm actually thinking about just giving away a bunch of miniatures. Just post on Kijiji, like, you know, take my Malifaux, take my Mercs, take my Infinity, take my, you know, AT-43. You know, I got two AT-43 armies, I think. Just take them. It's like, someone, please.
No Carmens?
No Carmens, sadly. Nah. I have some Therians, and I have the UNA, along with the rule books and the supplement rule books, whatever, army books. But yeah, we're at that point where I'm like, I can't really sell this stuff. No one's going to buy it. Maybe if I try to give it away, someone will take it. I don't know. We'll see. Well, I tried giving away a bunch of models before and failed miserably. I tried giving away, I had a paper box. You know, like the... When you buy a paper at, like, Staples or Bilwang Gros, whatever you call it.
Filing boxes.
It comes in, like, 8 packages of paper in, like, a box or whatever. Or whatever, how many packages. Anyway, one of those boxes full of miniatures at one point that I tried to give away and I couldn't get anyone to take. And they were, like, confrontation minis, so they're nice minis. Like, just someone, anyone, take it. Nope.
Not even Eric?
No, I tried. And he's like, well, I've already got some of those. I'm like, okay, but do you want more? Like, I'm just going to give them to you. And he's like, well, I don't really need them.
Wow.
Like, so you don't want them. Okay. And I think maybe he just didn't understand I was trying to give them away. Because, like, a year and a half or 2 years later, I talked to him about it. You know, it's like, oh, I tried to give them away. He's like, well, I would have taken them. Like, but I offered them to you. So, yeah, anyway. So, yeah, it's just tons of stuff I got to get rid of. Or do something with. Yeah. It's like my Mount Everest. And then last but not least, I've been spending a lot of time planning for ReaperCon. You know, what am I going to take to ReaperCon in terms of models to paint? Because mainly I go there and I just paint for, you know, for 3.5 days. That's kind of the point. And when I'm not painting, I'm drinking. So.
You're going on the plane, so you cannot bring your airbrush this time and compressor.
Yeah, I know. So I gotta... So, like, I'm not taking, for example, I'm not taking any of my Kador stuff because that red is airbrushed. I'm not insane enough to try to paint a whole red army with a brush. Like, just not happening. And if I was to paint an individual model with a brush now, while I could do one model, it wouldn't look the same. The paint would, like, the
result would...
The feathering and stuff would look different, right? Because hand-blended always looks different than airbrushed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, you have a whole guild to repair, so that's for starters. That's that.
Yeah, if I feel up to it, it's really disheartening. Like, it just turned me off of turned me off the whole thing.
Me and Tony will send you good vibe. Steve too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Like, I was actually thinking about just buying another guild to paint and just leaving those like that and shoving them in a drawer somewhere. Just...
No, that was just karma then. Like, yeah. Cosmic Energy telling you you need to play them more before buying another team.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I've got those. I'm going to take some chibis. So, that's what I'm doing tonight, actually. I'm assembling models. So, I'm assembling my endless Fantasy Tactics Dragoon. I've got a Captain Sicarius from Citadel Miniatures in Finecast. I've got a Huckchuck Ogryn Bounty Hunter, because he's an awesome fig from Privateer Press.
Yes.
From Impact Miniatures, I've got the Evil Knight chibi and a Direwolf chibi that I want to assemble. And a little samurai chibi that looks surprisingly like Rurouni Kenshin from anime or Samurai X, whatever you want to call him. So I'll take those guys. I mean, it's a Reaper show, right? So there's also 8 million miniatures there I can buy if I want to paint something else. So
you can that buy is my a plan. Big Cthulhu.
Actually, they just released today that they're going to have a limited amount of their Tiamat models in resin. Yeah.
In they're resin?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of big to bring back in a suitcase, right?
Yeah. It's also kind of out of my price range because it's going to be $500 US.
Oh, shit.
Watch your tongue, young man.
Yeah. Family show, Steve. Family show.
Sorry.
Yeah. So I've seen the master of that model. And I'm sure the Bones one will be noticeably smaller. But the Bones one will also be only about probably, you know, $70. So
yeah,
I think I will take my chances with the Bones one, because I am too damn poor.
Especially since you don't have anything to do with it except paint it.
Yeah, I also consider taking my Oh, it'll come to me. What is that game? Arena Rex models. But they're kind of big. And they're kind of very delicate resin. Like, there's a lot of very thin, narrow bits. And last year, the one bigger resin model I took to the event did not survive transport. So I'm thinking I'll stick to small stuff. Like, small resin minis. Like my little chibis or my Space Marine I'm taking.
Are they really that big?
They're big enough. It's not that they're super huge. It's that they're spindly.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, spear shafts are, you know...
Oh, yeah, no.
Don't bring a that third the thickness flame. of a toothpick, right? Like, there's just no way they'll survive.
Hmm.
They're true proportion. They're, I don't know, 35 mil. They're all super dynamically posed. So... They just won't survive. Yeah, God bless them for having gorgeous models, but there's limits. So yeah, it's not like I'm going to lack stuff to paint. Plus, I already spoke to Jim last night, Jim Wapple, and he's going to let me play with his green stuff rollers. So I'm going to make a bunch of custom bases for the guys on down there. It should be pretty sweet. I keep thinking about taking a bunch of green stuff and just some blank 40k bases, like some 40 bills and stuff, and making like just a pile of custom bases going there, bringing them back.
Well, you have that 9k army coming, so.
Well, that 9k... Whoops. Well, I just lost the head to my dragoon under something. Let me see if I can... Yeah, she's rescued.
It's okay. Big enough to be easy to find.
Yeah, thanks. It's just went under a table with a bunch of cat fur while wet crazy glue. So she's got some extra facial hair now. All right. So that's it for me. Who's up next? Looks like it's... games. None. So... Okay, now that we get that out of the way. Who's up next?
That was
looks like
long.
It's Antoine.
Okay. So I started painting my fisherman. Well, that might have been before the last recording. I started working on my fisherman starter to do demos for Guildball. I already had them, but assembled and been using them for a while. But they need to be painted anyway. So I'm done with Angel, and the other two are about a bit over halfway done. I'm doing them with a good level, but less than my butchers. So they're still taking more time than I want, but they look nice.
Yes, they do. Your angel looks gorgeous. Makes me ashamed of mine, put it that way.
Well, I don't think you need to be. Well, now you should, because it's all broken, but before that...
Wow.
I don't think you need it. Apart from that, I've been working on a second Midnight commission. I painted Severus
2. Yeah.
And now I'm working on Tyra on the same client. And that blue is so hard to photograph. I'm trying to take work in progress picture, and they all came out weird, ugly. The contrast doesn't pick up on the pictures. I don't know what it is, but I'm just unable to take pictures of it.
Did you say it was for the same client?
Yeah, same client for Etienne.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen any of his recent stuff. He's coming He's coming along as a painter himself.
Well, we're chatting a lot about painting, so next week I'm supposed to see his more recent work. But yeah, the last thing he showed me were looking great.
His cricks? Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think one of his cricks.
He showed me some cricks last week, and I was very impressed with how far he's come. So good for him.
Yeah, well, he started painting last year or something like that, max. So
yeah, but I think he chats like with each one of us like half an hour every week. So, you know, Etienne, since you're talking to the other two, I'm gonna cut a bit on our chat and play more. Okay. Almost there to help, but everybody like spend an hour or half an hour to talk to him. Well, at some point, we're going to say the same thing.
Oh, he's a good guy, though.
Yeah.
So, Tyra is almost done. All the metallics are done. Well, all the armor, all the robes are done. I only have the weapon and the head left to do, and the base. The base I offered to do like a broken wall sections with bas-relief or something like that, but I thought I have something to apply it on, and turns out I don't have anything, and I don't want to sculpt it, so I need to go to a dollar store or something and find textured wallpaper or something like that to apply on it.
Oh, maybe I can make you a base at.
Yes, that could be an idea, or just like a small part that I can break off and do it.
Yeah, I could. we'll chat later.
Yeah, and lastly, I've been painting a War Master Dwarf unit, the Dwarf Warriors. They're almost done. I have some beard left to paint, and that's about it. And after that, I'll be able to glue down all those tiny dwarves, which will... It's three stands, so like six strips of models. And that will be my color test for my army. And they're
nice.
Pretty fast to do. I'm pretty happy with the result. There's enough contrast that they should pop on the table, even if you don't look at them too closely. And anyway, you shouldn't. They're so small.
Yeah. I actually thought about bringing some dystopian wars to Reapercon to paint.
Oh.
Just for fun. But then I realized that it's not exactly the type of model you bring to a painting thing. Because
bring your dystopian legion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. And that's about it. Painting-wise, I haven't done a lot of hobby because I worked a lot in the past 2 weeks. less than Paul, but still more than I should have, and that cut down on my hobby. And that's it for hobby. The rest are, I played one game, a guild ball game against François, using his hunters, and I was trying to do a more ball team with my butchers. It went well. I almost ended with 3 goals, but in the end it was 2 goals and 2 takeouts.
Oh, that's still good.
Yeah.
That's much more well-rounded than I pound you in the face until you keel over butcher style.
Yes. I always try, to play the ball even with my BT team because it goes faster and it gives you a strong influence. And butchers don't have that much influence anyway, so more is always welcome. So that was fun. And the only other thing I have is I ran the Taco Ball a couple of weeks ago. That's our second Guild Ball tournament locally. We had, officially, we had 16 players. One didn't show up, so we still got the sanction status, which is cool. So Steamforge sent us prize support, and we had prize support from the registration everybody gave to the store. So in the end, we gave a lot of stuff. The event ran really well. The only small drawback was the length of the lunch break, because both places where people took their stuff took a long time to get the food out. So
yeah, I heard about that.
Next time, I'll probably arrange something to have food sent to the store and include that in the price. We'll make it easier to time and finish. If I finish on time. But outside of that, it went really well. The event was won by Marc-André Leblanc, a guy from the Ottawa-Gatineau region. And we had a great job. 5 guys from Ottawa, a bunch of guys from the South Shore, and the rest from Montreal. With almost all guilds were represented. The only one we didn't have a player for was Engineer. So 8 of the 9 guilds on play was nice.
Well, actually, the first place was Gatineau, second place was Gatineau, third place was Gatineau, and the last place was Gatineau too.
Yes.
Yeah, they took everything from us.
Yeah, the only prize we had locally were the hobby prize, like the painting that was won by Jans Brewer again, and the goal was won by Jean-Marc Capito, giant butcher goal.
It's too funny. It's going just too funny.
Yeah. So that's about it.
So was the one no show named Paul Fillon?
Nope. Paul had canceled before.
Damn. I wanted to take a stab at him, but a jab. Nope. But no. No. Damn it.
You can't.
But hey, Steve would agree. Great, great event, Tonio. It was really fun and really well run, and everything went super smooth. So, woo, Antoine!
Thank you, Yop.
No, it was a really cool event. I think everybody is looking forward to the next one already.
Yeah, next local Guild Ball tournament is not run by me, though. It will be run by Benoît Bérubé, which is the other local pundit. So, he's running his first tournament pundit at Le Beginner on November 5th. So if anybody is interested, we'll have there is a link in the last news show.
Yeah, he and I have to have a talk.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if the
because he stole the name.
Yep, and he admitted, right, that he took the idea from us. From you. He took the idea from you.
Stole it from my cold, dead hands.
Oh, wait. Your blunder at the last episode. Your blunder at the start. Yeah, that's where you took it from.
Little does he know, I've trademarked it since then. So.
And the tournament is on the South Shore, so it shouldn't be of the North.
Yeah,
but we're still in Quebec.
Still.
I don't know, man. The guy from Ottawa will come back. They're still further south. Yeah, it would be. I don't know if they come back. I guess, man, they just took everything. They have a really strong meta, seriously. Wow. Have you faced against them, Steve, during the tournament?
Yeah, twice.
Damn, man. 3 times for me.
Ouch.
All right. Okay, my turn. Hobby-wise, I. Last episode, I was prepping when we were doing hobby. I was prepping 4 Signar Warjacks. I was putting blue tack on them. So now the 2 light Warjacks, Ace and a Minuteman, are done. I finished them yesterday. Still, I have no chance. I have no chance to take pictures of them, but it will come soon enough. And tonight, right now, I'm working on the 2 heavy Warjacks. It's an Avenger conversion, and Dynamo, which has a really cool sculpt. Really well, cool, interesting design, and you won't like him, Tenu, because he's tall. He's about the same height of as my Galen conversion. So.
Yeah, but I have no problem against tall models. It's just that one, the conversion you made it look, I don't know, it looked
Anorexic?
weird to me.
Well,
he looks very long and lanky.
Yeah.
well, that's the thing with Dynamo, he's not bulky at all. Like, he
Yeah,
has like long, fine legs.
but have you
Yeah.
converted it? Because I saw the model online and it looked fine to me.
I guess.
I don't know what it is with your Gallant, but
It's because it's me. It's
I was
me.
gonna say maybe it's just Yom.
Yeah. See, Paul, I just took you. I was faster than you to insult me. You get no credit for this one.
I wasn't even gonna take a shot.
I'm sure you would. You would. Like, why would you not?
I don't have to ridicule you at every turn.
He doesn't need to, you do
That
it yourself.
exactly that. Yeah.
That
See, that
takes
was
the fun
another
out.
insult.
You
Like,
know,
even when he doesn't want to, bam.
if it's at every opportunity, you're gonna start expecting it, and then it's less funny.
Just like me trolling War Machine.
Exactly.
You're
Well, you do it every
trolling War
time.
Machine?
No, not every time.
I have not noticed. What
All
size?
right.
What base size for Baldur 2, Steve?
40 mil, because he's
Yes.
big.
What is a Baldur 2, Steve?
It's the second version of Baldur.
Oh, close enough.
That's a good answer, Steve. Good answer.
And the next thing I'm doing, well, while I'm painting the 2 heavy warjacks, I'm working on the prep of an engineer's guild. I think I have like 8 or 9 models. It's a commission for a local guy called our friend Martin. So we settled on a cool, interesting paint scheme that I guess you will have to wait and see in a month or so to get pictures. But yeah, pretty happy. I never painted engineers, so I always want to paint Guildborn models. So looking forward to that. Game wise, well, there was the Taco Ball 2. I went 2-2. I faced 3 guys from the Ottawa Get to Know Ottawa meta. I faced the guy who ended up in second place, the guy who ended up in third place, and the guy who ended up in last place. So I had a victory, at least I guess one of their guys. So my first game, I didn't play a lot of Guild Ball previously. I played 2 games the week before against Benoit Berube from South Shore, and I did remark on how I was like. You get rusty really fast when you don't play Guild Ball. Like you forget the basic concept of tactical concepts. So I went into my first game against Shane. He was playing Fillette, and man, he just like rolled over me. I forgot so many things. He had a field day. Basically, I just handed him over the game. So like the guys from Shock Shore, they were making jokes that since I won the first Taco Ball that I had to defend my title, but really, It was not even close to that. So I went after the first game. I ended up in the losers bracket. Shame on Montreal. Second game, I faced the another guy from Gatineau. Kyle. He was playing the Honor Masons. It was my first time facing Masons. I was a little more awake at this point.
Awake, yeah.
Awake, yeah. But still, first time facing the Masons. There's like you don't see anything come because you don't think to ask questions. Like Mallet has a 3-inch melee during his activation. Oh, okay. I moved at some point. I moved a model like my captain within at 6 inches and a quarter of an inch of brick. So he measured 6 inches to see if I was within counter charge. I was like, "What are you measuring? Counter charge range?" I said, "Oh,
That exists.
you have counter charge." Okay, so all game long, he's like, "Oh, you can activate a model twice, huh? That's funny." Because of honor, it's like, man, yeah, you have to play the different guilds, you know, to don't get too many surprises. But no, the game went well anyway. I got into it and did my little thing and won. After that third round, I faced another local, GNR, who started also playing Brewers. So I was playing Esters and he was playing Tapper, and we didn't know what the other would take, but we made on purpose we selected a team that was not the default team that we would use for the event. Because like in the first two rounds, we played the exact same matchup except for the captains. Like we had the same lineups, I mean. So we tried to just change that because we didn't want to do a like a perfect mirror match except for the captain. So I filled Stave and he filled Stoker. So at least it was a bit different. That game was really, really, really close. At some point, I went to see Antoine with the scoreboard because like the clocks were running out and it was 10-10 victory points on each side, so it was like I had a little more momentum on my side, so I won the initiative role and Esther killed Tapper in melee on like the last for the last winning points, so it was pretty cool. Super tight games where the two captain met up in the middle, they settled things. And the last game, I was playing Marc-Antoine, the guy that came third. Marc-Antoine, he was playing Corsair Fishermans. Again, never faced Corsair, never faced Avarice and Greed, so had to learn the hard way again. I lost, but I lost 12-8. But it was really, really close because at the end I had a shot to do a snapshot with Mash on four dices, and I rolled only one success on four plus.
Oof.
So it's like, ooh,
You were robbed.
the end was pretty cool. Like Corsair, he has close control that you ignore the first tackle. So Mash went in, had to spend like a first influence to do a tackle that was canceled, then a second to do a tackle that was. That worked, and I move and shot at the goal, and it worked. Then he get the ball back and he give it back to Corsair. So then Spigot went in, took the ball. He had only like a couple of influences. Took the ball from Corsair again and passed it to Mash with Snapshot on four dice, but missed. So after that, he took the ball and he scored with Sakana because damn Sakana, man, such a good player.
Yes.
Anyway, the game was really, really cool. At the very end, like the plays were really cool, and yep. Like we had attracted a little crowd of ghetto people. They were all like cheering. Oh, it's all this game is super fun. That only a couple of models, man, and people are on the edge of their seats and just like shouting. Oh, same thing. Like after that, I only had one. Game night at Gamers Vault, I play against Martin, the guy who gave me the engineers to paint, and he was playing Ballista. And same thing, and it's like almost all the game, we were on the edge of our seats and having a lot of fun. So, quick game. A game takes an hour, and you only have six models on the field, and I mean, you have a perfect time. So it was a little game against Martin. It was my first time playing him at this game. Very laid back guy. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna play him again, like when I give him back his guild, because now he cannot play. And then because it's such a short game, I had a time to play a game of Warmer Hordes against Alain. Alain Séguin. He was playing his Khorne army with Xerxes 1. I lost that one on the scenario, but it was a really, really cool game. Like I put some pressure on him, and it was it. And yeah, we closed the store at like 11, like 5 to 11 at night, and we finished at the last moment, and it all like went up on the couple last activations. Like I couldn't kill one model I was contesting, so. Like because we were scoring like at the same point every turn, so it was going like 1-1, 2-2, 3-3. But then my dice kind of whiff up at the end, and because of my damn sentinels, it didn't work. But basically again, like you have one game night a week, but it's really cool to take the pressure off because. You laugh, you scream, you jump. It's cool. I love this hobby. Hello?
Yeah.
No, what? Sorry.
Anybody here? Damn, that's hard. Hey Steve, are you awake?
Yeah, I'm
Alan's
still
also
I'm
awake.
gonna
A really
pass the
good
ball to
opponent.
you, man.
Sorry, Paul?
I was just saying that Alan's a really good opponent. He's a really fun, laid-back
Oh.
kind of guy.
Yeah, it was my first game against him in Mark 3, so we don't play often enough. Yeah, he's a really, really fun guy to play against. Man,
Yeah.
we made jokes all day, all game long. We just couldn't make jokes.
I've never played against him, which is funny because he's my neighbor. And
Really?
but yeah, he lives right next to me. Like just down the street. And we've never played, but I've watched him play and I've talked to him a lot. Super, super fun guy. So
He's
I should
always
probably
there on Thursdays. He always tried to log in at least two games.
Yeah, it's just tough for me playing on weeknights now. I just never have the time. By the time I get there, it's 8, 8:30, and I'm dead, and I don't feel like playing anything. So
It's gonna get harder when the second baby comes around, Paul.
something to do with the baby. I mean, yes, that'll probably end my gaming, but we'll see. So, Steve, what about you?
Hobby, not much. Just finished the scenery I was painting the other time. Finishing touches and put some flock and Testar Dull Coat on it. And that's pretty much it. And for gaming, I played into Taco Bell 2 a couple of games before the tournament. Tried to get back in game mode. Didn't go too well because I lost. I went 2-2 at the tournament. And after that, I played a couple of games against François, and I watched Antoine play this game as well. It's fun to watch, though. Guildball is one of the fun war game to actually watch because
No
it's moving
downtime.
back and forth, and there's always something happening and no dead time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great
Totally.
spectator game.
And that's it for me.
Wow.
Wow.
You make me look even worse.
Why? Because his is so short compared to yours?
Yeah.
That's okay. It's not like we're timing you, Yom. 23 minutes. I was kidding. I just made that up. Whoops, that knife went right into my finger. Okay, I'm bleeding, but I'll survive. Okay. And the joys of doing a hobby while podcasting.
Is it just a flesh wound?
Yeah, it's just, well, I don't know. I went into the side of my finger. I hit the knuckle. The bone stopped it. The flesh isn't very deep there. It's all good. I'll live. Sorry, I'm reading the next section, which is hobby tip of the episode. And
and you just cut yourself. So yeah. It could be careful when you're using an X-Acto knife.
Exactly. But it's because I had to read it like 4 times because I kept reading it wrong. So hobby tip of the episode. I don't know who put this, whose suggestion was
this? I did.
Excellent. Okay, Antoine, why don't you take it away?
Okay, I saw that online and I really like the suggestion. So when you're applying white glue for terrain, mostly because we wouldn't do that in a big enough size for that for miniatures, but like for big bases or terrain piece, terrain board, you can use a silicone cooking brush that's used to for sauce or stuff like that. And apply your white glue with that.
Like a basting brush.
I don't know that word. Maybe.
Like to put barbecue sauce on ribs or to...
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so a basting?
Basting, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that, exactly. So a basting brush. There are some silicone ones. And you apply your glue with that. You let it dry. And after that, it will peel off super easy. No cleaning. It doesn't ruin your regular brush, because working on terrain usually kills every brush you use while working in it. So, quick and easy tip.
That's a neat idea. I never thought of doing that.
Me neither. When I saw that, that I really liked the idea.
Well, you also, for a while there, you were doing a ton of terrain.
Mm-hmm.
So that can come in really handy for you.
And we jumped over it, but I'll just go to it now.
Oh, so, is it we at had... the top and I missed it again? Damn it.
Yeah. You even mentioned it when you mentioned the planning of the show at the start.
Yep.
So, yeah, because we cool stuff on the web
for this show.
Yeah. So this week's cool stuff on the web, it's a circus team Gilbald crew. So, Gilbald Guild, a circus guild, if you want. So, a guy made that based on the Union Guild. So he's using the Union models, and he converted them all to fit the circus team. Even did a custom base, a custom goal, and they are all painted as clown, entertainers, a strong man, the guy with the armor for the. His goal is like I don't know how you call that, but. Like
the strength test.
A strength test where a bell at the top, and you need to hit that with a hammer to make its ring. So he converted Iridiat with a big hammer to fit with the goal. Avaris and Greeds are a pair of clowns. The captain of the group is Veteran Grave, because he already fit like a circus announcer look. So no big conversion needed there. So this looks really neat. We'll have a link to it on the show.
I thought that model was maybe Rage or something. I don't know who that was.
It's Veteran Rage.
And the other captain one, Rage. The Strongman.
Yeah, Fangtooth is the Strongman. He converted Gutter without chains and had a knife. So I have a knife drawer instead.
And the ball is a carnival ball.
Yeah, a cool ball.
So, it's cool that Veteran Rage, like you said, it's not a major conversion. It's just a different paint job.
I think he changed the shoulder pads, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. Just put like little figgly things. Mm-hmm. But it's like, see, you take a Bill the Butcher in Gangs of New York, but a different paint job just yields you another team. It totally goes somewhere else. Totally.
Well, you see, I heard you say Veteran Graves, which isn't even a
release player. Yeah.
And not a Union player. So I don't know why. That's why I was all like, I thought it was Rage. And you guys are like, yeah, it's Veteran Rage. We just said that.
Veteran Grave is the missing model.
That Steve is waiting for.
Still waiting for since Steve's the last curse. Show.
Quest? Curse? Yeah. I don't know.
So we'll have a link to it in the doc for sure.
Yeah, it was a really cool looking army. I saw that this week as well. It was kind of creepy, to be honest. You know, the whole I find circus things kind of creepy. So, and maybe that was the look he was going for, too. I don't know.
Is it because of the resurgent of the scary clowns, Paul?
Not so much the scary clowns. Just, I don't know, I kind of find everything circus-related kind of creepy and icky. I don't know.
It's the bearded woman.
So Cirque du Soleil is creepy?
I have never seen Cirque du Soleil. It's a French thing, so I won't go to it.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding.
They don't even talk.
Actually, no, I haven't seen Cirque du Soleil since I was a very little boy, so I don't even remember it. Yeah, oddly enough, I lived here, you know, for years and years, and never really seen anything. And I've been to Vegas, I don't know how many times, and there's like 14 different Cirque du Soleil shows going on at any given time in Vegas.
Yeah,
never checked one out. Okay. So I think that finishes everything for that. Why don't we take a quick break, grab a drink, and then we can come back and get on our main topics.
Sure. So
we'll be right back, geeks. And we're back. All right, folks. So now we're going to jump into our first topic of the evening, which is, how do you decide on a paint scheme? Now, I don't know what everyone else does, but I think most people probably do what I do, which is just, you know, first stop, Google.
I think the first thing people do are official faction team.
Yeah, what's on the box of the model?
Yeah, what's on the box? That's true. It's looking for inspiration from the studio painters. This is absolutely correct.
And then Google.
And then Google, yeah. So, when looking online, what are good resources for stuff? I know personally, I often go to Cool Mini or Not. But that's becoming a little bit less and less popular, I find. Like, I'm finding less and less stuff on there that's interesting as time goes on. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. What about you guys?
Depends if it's from me or a client. So, like, I guess going to the company to see the studio paint scheme, to just see how they've done specific parts, like how they've tackled them, mixed the palettes and everything. But I don't know. For me, since I have models for different games, a lot of different games, I usually just look at my glass cabinets and I look for what color is missing, and it becomes my main color for my new project. So unless I'm continuing a project that already exists, I'm just pick one that is missing. That's basically it. That's the whole idea behind the Pink Legion that I have. So yeah, I never painted anything pink. Let's go.
So, wow.
Yeah, you know, really, there's yellow, green, blue, pink, purple, white in my cabinet.
That's pretty. I never realized that. So that's kind of cool. I learned something new about Yom today.
Woo.
So that's after that,
something that I do, I have to confess, I never used a color wheel. I've learned about it in art school, never used one after that. It's like I guess I know. It's the only way I can put it. I guess I know how it works. So once I decide what would be my main color, or if I continue an army that I already have, Like I have a new piece for that army. I just look at the model. It's gonna sound weird, but I'm just looking at the model, and I picture it. And if I need to look at it for 2 to 5 minutes, I just look at it from every angle, and I see it in my mind's eye. I see like which part will be which color. So I kind of, it's like a layer that I put in front of, on top of it.
You're so, a living Photoshop layer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly, a living Photoshop. So I have the model in resin or metal or plastic in my hand, but I see it painted. So if something does not work because like it's a bad choice of the palette, the rules of the of your opposites and everything. So if it doesn't work, I think really hard and I change it in my mind's eye. Like okay, that red doesn't work. What if it's a lighter red or it's an orange? And then I change it. So I guess it takes focus. I don't know. I don't know. Am I weird? That's how I do it.
Well,
I
we know
think
you're weird.
You are weird.
I don't think you're being weird. It has anything to do with your how you choose your colors. it's just an added feature. Yeah. So you mentioned a color wheel. Now, me being a lesser mortal, I actually use a color wheel from time to time. And I find them very handy, but
yes.
Color theory is a very scary thing. Because at first you hear the word color theory, or the term, and you're like, oh, okay, well, how hard could it be? The answer is very hard to understand color theory. I understand now why people have like whole semesters in university level art about color theory. So a color wheel helps a lot for me. Now, of course, the thing is, how do you use a color wheel? Right?
You just turn and you match the color.
You turn the wheel. You open the water valve and turns the wheel.
Okay, so what do you mean, Steve, by turn it and match the color? Because don't forget, not all color wheels are the multi-layer things where you get to spin the thing. Like, not everyone has the fancy color wheel. Sometimes it's just a flat, you know, one single sheet of paper color wheel.
Well, then you buy another one to get the multi-layer one, and then you spin the wheel.
Wow. Okay. Antoine, how do you use a color wheel?
So there's a bunch of different ways to use a color wheel, but right. Usually the main thing you do, you either you pick a favorite color or a main color you want to work with. And after that, you look for opposite. So the first rule and the general rule is you go for straight across the wheel. So if you, I don't have one in front of me and I'm not a robot like Yom, so I don't know which color fits exactly with, but let's say I pick orange and the one across is green, maybe, or blue.
Orange,
or
it's blue.
Okay. So I pick orange as my main color. So the opposite will be blue. And those are my two main colors, but two is often not enough, and there are other way to pick, and I don't know the name, but one is like a split. So you take a main, and you do like the letter Y, a Y on the wheel. So you'll have your two secondaries will be the two Y point at the top, and you can do a quadra when you have four. And there's different ways to. Look online
and
you'll see. Yeah, right? Triad.
Yeah, let's
look online and you'll see a bunch of those rules.
Actually, yeah, I have a good color wheel I always reference online. That actually it lists, you know, regular I can never pronounce that word. Analogous color schemes, complementary color schemes, triadic, and then split complement, and you know, and it gives examples of like. RGB additive color schemes, all kinds of stuff. So maybe we
you
can
should,
reference that.
You should link to it in the doc, and I'll add it in the show notes.
I'm doing it right now. Whoops, you're typing.
Okay, good.
Well, I always use one online. I use the one from Adobe. It's cooler.
Who's that?
Cooler.adobe.com. Cooler is spelled K U. L-E-R, and that's what I use because since I'm using color every day when I design, So you can select all kind of methods you want, like the triads and complementary if you prefer monochromes or anything. And you pick one color, and then it's gonna, depending on the color theory you kind of you want to apply, it's gonna choose the four other colors you want to use.
Right.
And people save their color theme, so you can browse for inspiration and see the most popular, and you can apply that to miniature painting for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like a really cool one too. I like the traditional, just the circle. Just so I can visualize everything at once. I have used a couple like that where you plug in a color and then it pops out the other colors in the set, which is really cool and really, really quick.
But you can play around as well. There's there's the equivalent of color wheel, and you can play with the hue and the saturation of each color once you have it. So it's really
nice.
It's really elaborate.
I will go check that out.
And then you can export it and use it in Illustrator. Which is not useful for miniature painting, but...
No, but I use Illustrator at work, so I'll snag that idea.
Or Photoshop, and you can just put your miniature and paint over it, maybe. I don't know.
I can just put my picture of my miniature in Photoshop, and then add some shadows, add some
exactly.
highlights.
Well, yeah. That works when you try a color scheme. I've done that multiple times. Take a picture and colorize it, or black and white it, and add... color layers over it to know if it looks good. My mind is not as strong as you.
Yeah, I was saying that takes too long, man.
Yeah, well, we can't all be you, Yom, okay?
It's a good
thing. Which is a good thing.
See?
I didn't say that. Again. That was not me. That was not me, see? See, I'm a nice guy.
Tonight.
Well, it's because it's the full moon, that's why.
Is it the full moon tonight?
I don't know. It's close to it, though.
I was going to say, I can't see the moon. It's too overcast outside.
So basically, yeah, so... you came into the cast telling yourself, I'm going to give you a break. It's a full moon. But at the same time, you hire Steve.
I hire Steve? Jeez. I don't know how much... You think I really put a lot of effort into like being miserable to you, and I really don't.
No, I know it's easy.
It's all natural.
It just rolls off my tongue. Yeah, so... I was saying, yeah, so I find... I mean, I use the color wheel, like I said, but I also find that looking around online at different painters and what they've done... Cool Mean or Not was the one I mentioned. I like the forums. Most manufacturers have forums where people yes. post work in progress pictures. I think that's a good resource.
Or Facebook support groups as well.
Yeah, Facebook groups like the painters like War Machine and Hordes Painting or that for War Machine and Hordes stuff. But every manufacturer has one, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Though I'll be honest, I find that the Facebook groups.
There aren't browse.
Yeah, and they vary a lot in helpfulness. But I find the forums on most sites are much more helpful. Like, if you want constructive commentary, I find you have better luck on the forums. That could just be me, though. I don't know what you guys... I don't know if you guys ever post on forums with whip picks and get feedback or anything.
Yes.
No, I don't.
Wait, Yom, you're a robot. We've discussed this.
Yeah, I don't need anybody's help.
Oh, you need someone's help, all right. It's just not with your painting.
When that person charges $100 an hour and you lay on a couch when you go see him.
We could be talking about a psychologist or a massage parlor, actually.
You decide.
And you can both get the receipt for insurance. So.
Yep. Either one can be therapeutic, yeah. So guys, so aside from color wheels and maybe browsing, or we're drifting here, browsing forums, what other resources do you use to help you pick color schemes?
I look for fluff.
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
Yeah, okay.
So you do something thematic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like my Trollbloods, my favorite warlock is Borka, and he's a northern guy. So I painted all my troll a lighter blue, more brown for the clothing and everything. So a cool palette.
Right.
And that makes was sense. My base decision was based on that.
That's true. And like Steve, your morticians that you just painted.
Yeah.
Right? You painted them in a kind of autumny, Halloweeny color scheme.
Yeah.
Right? To go with your bases
you
that you bought.
The team and yeah.
Well, because I like the bases and I needed to find a team.
Yeah.
To...
But you picked a palette that yeah. worked around the theme
yeah,
you
yeah.
had. You know. So well, you wanted the Halloween bases, right? The Field of Screams bases from Secret Weapon.
Yeah. So, and I went for blue as the opposite color. Because it fits.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yep. That's exactly opposite on the color wheel from orange, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, this is a color wheel question, because you guys will know. Brown is treated as an orange on the color wheel, right? If I recall correctly?
Not sure. I would need to look.
Say yes.
Because I know brown is a color that's not on the color wheel, but I think you substitute it in for orange. Okay. I was thinking about this earlier today, and I was like, oh, I'll just ask the guys, because they'll know. Because they're all artistically trained.
It's because it's easy to derivate, to go from orange to brown. Even going through sepias and things. Yeah. So I guess, yes, it all depends. When you apply paint, it all depends what constitutes the paint. But, yeah. It's easy to do that transition, so I guess you could replace it with orange.
Okay. And, yeah, I know, Antoine, you're maybe not artistically trained, but you do graphic artwork, website stuff. You know, you have an eye for...
I'm a programmer.
We see the color code.
Yeah.
Wow. You know. Actually, someone came up to me today and he was all excited. Not today, yesterday. Because apparently in Google now you can type in your hex code for a color and it'll show you a swatch of the color. And I'm like, okay.
Hasn't that been there for a while?
I don't know, but I'm not sure why it's useful. Like,
yeah, most people will go on the other way around.
Yeah, what's the hex code for brown? Yeah, exactly. No one, like I don't know anyone, maybe you, Antoine, who knows the hex codes enough to be like, I'm just gonna type this in and yeah, look at the color it is. Like I don't see the point. But they were super excited, like this was revolutionary, and I'm like, okay.
Well, I can see why it could be useful for a programmer. You jump into a bunch of code, you don't. Can't run it yet, and you have a bunch of different color codes.
And you just want to see what they are. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're just a programmer and not a developer, you don't use Photoshop. That's an easier way to get it out and see it. So I can see the use, but
that's really niche. Funny. Yeah, he like super excited. Like it was Christmas or something. It was crazy. Like he had to show me. Like, oh, I got to show you this. Like, okay. Anyway, I sidetracked us again. What were we talking about? We were talking about color wheels and colors and sourcing. So yeah, fluff. So based off fluff. That's actually an interesting point. I hadn't thought of that. And I mean, we all do it. Well, I do it. I know Steve does it. I know Antoine does it. I'm sure Yom does it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't really considered that. That's true. That also can be very important when selecting your color scheme. Especially if you're playing a game like a, if you're painting miniatures for a war game as opposed to just for an art piece or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, that's like some of my models, like the one I did for just for fun, just for painting. I mostly use a color wheel and what I feel for it, but for army painting, I almost always go for fluff.
Yeah, that's what I used to do in Warhammer too.
Let's have a moment of silence for Warhammer.
Like my Night Goblin, I choose a clan, and that's how I was. I started the army.
Poor Warhammer. I was looking at those models today.
Sometimes it works the other way around. Like when I started my Terranids, It was in 3rd edition or 4th edition? 3rd edition, I think. And the main like studio scheme was pale white skin and red carapace, right? But I didn't like that, so I used my little trick and came up with like a darker skin and purple carapace. And then when came the next edition, they changed the default color scheme, like Leviathan High Fleet, I think.
Yeah.
For that. Like they came up with a new, like the new edition's like, damn man, that's my paint scheme.
They copied you, Yom.
Damn it.
Did you go after GW in you know?
Yeah, sure. I was like, okay, you owe me. No. It's just funny. Like, hey, okay, so it works with fluff. Now.
Now it's thematic.
Now it's canon.
Exactly. So what other resources do you guys use? I mean, there doesn't have to be other resources. I mean, we covered, you know, web and you know, using color wheels and color, you know, some basic color theory stuff.
Nature. Nature is another help. Well, you mentioned Google at the start. You Google for like landscapes or stuff like that, or outside colors. And most of the time, in good photography, you can extract a color concept out of it and get a scheme based on that. So like a beautiful shot of forest or mountains, you have the sky and the coloring from different, depending on when on the day the picture was taken, and can get you a cool and beautiful mix.
That's a good idea. I like it.
Again, I never thought of using nature as a reference. It goes to show I painted, you know, mostly 40K and like crazy fantasy stuff. I never thought of actually using the real world as a color reference. I can't believe you didn't see that because it's radio, but I did air quotes around real world. I'm not sure why, but
yeah, everybody though, it's not really real. Look at film.
I blame World of Warcraft. So is that about it?
Well, you can ask your friends too.
That's true, unless your friend is Yom, which case is like, well, can't you just tell? Don't you see it painted in your head?
No.
Because most of the time your friends will be playing games and miniature games, so they can tell you if they've tried it or if it works or not for color.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. Getting other people's opinions are cool too, or getting their input. Because sometimes they'll see stuff that you won't.
Yeah,
and
Barney.
If you're, and, what was that again?
Your dragon ogre. You picked the purple as a main color. That's all. Your first idea was to use purple.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
That's all.
And you ruined that for me. Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
So don't ask your friend.
No, don't ask your friends if they're Antoine or Yom, apparently. If you're friends with Steve, he's safe to ask.
Doesn't know damn thing.
No, he's just not a jerk.
Yeah. Steve will let you know which candy cereals are of that color.
Yeah, that's right. Steve's a strange breakfast cereal addiction. Yeah, blueberry blue is not really a color scheme. Yeah.
All too true.
Frankenberry green, pink. Sorry.
Too funny. True, but too funny. Poor Steve. Yeah. So does that just about do it?
For this first topic, I think so.
Okay.
And if listeners have other source or idea, they can drop a comment on Facebook or on the blog when the show is up to share their finding of where they get the inspiration.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see their color scheme. If people have another thing that we didn't.
I think we went really fast on the forum thing. I think it was Anton who said that you asked people on forums, but you didn't mention which one.
Oh no, but Paul or Steve mentioned the official forums.
Okay. Yeah, the manufacturers forum. Yeah. That's what
for
he was
armies.
Talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Because there are other good from Kulmir, they have a forum, but it's mostly for iron painting. And in that case, I don't really seek help when I pick color scheme, except if I go historical or something like that. Because I don't need a cohesive team between different models when it's the case. So,
if you dig on Facebook, you'll find a lot of groups that can help you. Yeah, but I'm in a lot of those groups, but it's mainly for competition painting, since I don't do it anymore, really. One show a year. I don't really ask when I paint normal stuff. I don't need help to paint a Signor Rojack. But if you dig people, you will find those groups. Ask people that already paint, they will.
Oh, you just type
invite you
with the name of your game in the search bar, and you'll have multiple groups. So.
Honestly, the good groups are hidden. But ask people that paints already, and they might be members of those groups. So if you're serious enough about it, you can join those. And they are really serious, like a group with Meg Maples. People like that level, they're really serious. They will give you really good pointers.
Actually, I don't know if I'm in a... Is Meg still post on Facebook? I thought she'd stopped that. Anyway, another... Not relevant. You're right. A lot of those groups are hidden, mostly because they don't want their bosses seeing them posting from work that they're talking about little benums instead of doing their jobs. I mean, I know that's why I'm in those groups, so...
Well, I like to close groups because of that. Hidden groups, that's a step further.
That's a step further, yeah. Very true. All right. So I think we've pretty much done everything we need to do on that topic. What are people working on right now? What do you guys got going on?
Well, it's mostly a continuation from what I mentioned in my last 2 weeks of work. I'm finishing up my dwarves. Touching up on Tyra, and I also cleaned Dragoons. So first I cleaned the Endless Fantasy Tactic one, and also I have another one I got from Gen Con. It was an exclusive. It's a Reyna for the game, or the line Wonder, which is a new line by Red Panda Miniatures. So it's a Kangaroo Dragoon. So nice model.
Kangaroo.
I did not realize when you said the model and whatever that it was from Red Panda.
Yep.
He's got some really interesting stuff. He's a super nice guy, too. I spent some time chatting with him a bit at...
At Olypicon, you were at the same booth, right?
Yeah, because he was there with showing off his stuff, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he was also showing with...
On the Lamb.
On the Lamb. Yeah, okay. Who were based in the secret weapon booth where I was working. Yeah. So.
Eat fully.
Some very, very cool stuff. Sorry, what was that, Antoine?
His name. Eat Foley.
Yeah, Heath Foley.
For people. Yeah. You have a Facebook page if you look for his name, or look for a Red Panda miniature. You can find him. He ran a small Kickstarter for his first, I think, 5 or 6 models. And they look really nice. He's working on a game for them now.
And the models are exceptionally nice.
Yeah. Gorgeous and original.
Yeah, they're cartoony, but not chibi. So.
Well, they're not chibi in the sense of large head, small bodies.
Yeah.
They're not chibi in the sense.
Cartoonish.
Of what we... chibi in the sense of what we call chibi.
Yeah.
Because chibi doesn't mean what what we call chibi, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're cute. So
chibi, yes, just means cute.
They would be cute, but they're not the chibi proportion like we would see usually for other chibi lines.
Yeah. And
chibi is a claim term now.
In miniatures. Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't think... Because chibi just means like short or like small, right? What we call chibi used to be called SD.
Super deformed. Yeah.
Yeah. So. But the combining of the two, chibi and super deformed, is like a North American thing. Anyway, again, way off topic.
But yeah, I'm working on those. Clean the two Dragoon and finishing the two models. The unit of the War Master unit and the War Machine model.
Very cool. I'm trying to figure out these. I'm actually working on chibi models right now, and I'm trying to figure out where their feet are. Impact Miniatures has a lot of really cool stuff. Their sculpts are kind of cool looking, but their casting quality leaves a lot to be desired. I mean,
I have stuff only from their first Kickstarter. Has it improved over time, or is it about the same?
It just depends, I think. I always pick up stuff at shows, and I think they're often in a rush to cast stuff for the show, so they have enough to go there. And the owner is super cool. He'll exchange anything or whatever, right? Like, there's no questions asked. He just wants everyone to be happy with his stuff. So, super cool guy, but not terribly practical when you live in Canada and he's not here, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm just trying. Right now, I'm working on my little dire wolf, and the feet end in kind of like blobs. They're supposed to be... This might be a fiery wolf, actually, not a dire wolf. I can't really tell. There's supposed to be like fur or something on the feet. But the tufts are so malformed that I can't really tell what's foot and what's not. And I've got a similar problem with my Endless Fantasy Tactics Dragoon, where the feet kind of end in little nubs that I think she might be standing on a rock or something.
Yeah, that's not clear. Mine is...
Maybe. And I'm looking at it, trying to figure out how I'm going to attach it to a base. Everyone's going to say, well, you pin it. Except there's really nothing to pin to.
I cleaned them all and stopped there because I didn't know what to do to base it.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking maybe I'll just attach a blob of green stuff between the back of her feet and the cloak. Like, put a ball of green stuff there, just paint it black so it doesn't really show through their feet, and drill up through that to pin it.
Yeah, maybe.
Because the contact point is so small.
She looks like she's jumping. You could, like, put a rock and, like, she's on the tip of it. Like, jumping, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Just think of something. I'll just take some basing supplies with me and some green stuff to ReaperCon and pray. Pray that I can make it work when I'm there. And to save myself, I assembled Huck Chuck, which was... a nice, easy glue together. I use the age-old glue green stuff glue technique. Because I don't feel like pinning anything.
You never feel like pinning.
Yeah, exactly. And then I went back, I assembled some more impact stuff. And then I decided to, assemble some fine cast Space Marine.
Ah, you wanted pain.
He's not so bad. He's got a couple of questionable bits. I'm not going to finish assembling, just to make him easier to paint. But I haven't painted a 40k model, like a detailed 40k model, in a long time. My Adeptus Mechanica stuff is kind of quick and dirty. So, it'll be interesting to paint him. My little Ultra Smurf.
And you too, guys?
Like I said earlier, I'm painting two Signar Evijaks, an Avenger and Dynamo. Right now, I'm working on the Avenger, doing the highlights on the blue.
Did you airbrush your blue or did you hand paint?
I airbrushed it and now I'm fine tuning it for the like the highlights and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense. I'm not judging. Don't worry, I'm not going to judge you because you airbrushed a model. I mean, I airbrush everything, so. No, it's the way you responded was like, uh-oh.
No, it's like, more like because I'm touching it again. when true airbrushers, they do it right the first time.
No. Hey, come on. Again, like I feel that I've scarred you somehow.
For life, man. For life.
Apparently, I'm more horrible than I knew. Steve, you're working on some Guild Ball or something, right?
Actually, I wanted to prime and highlights, put some basic highlight on models, but I had problems with my airbrush, so I had to clean and unclog the airbrush, and I didn't have time to prime anything tonight before we started, so. I just had a beer, and I'm talking with you guys.
Well, drinking is a hobby.
Well, drinking isn't supposed to be a hobby, but still.
Well, Steve, I've spent a weekend with you, so I know for a fact that drinking is one of your most advanced hobbies.
And I played better when I was drinking, actually.
It's because you think less. You're more... in tune with the models. Yeah.
I guess so. And they respond, you know, when you talk to them. No, not kidding.
Okay.
I'm not sure that's with just drinking.
So there are two crazy people on the show.
Yay! Apparently. I was going to say something and now it's gone. Oh, you know what I've been tempted to do, though, for hobby? I've been looking at my Warhammer Fantasy stuff.
Well, we mentioned Fantasy Fest a couple of times, and I think nobody made any move. But
yeah, do you know if they still have spots?
Registration are not open yet, so I'm sure they do.
Oh, okay. I thought it was open.
And the tournament is in 1 month.
Yeah, but I don't think the information pack came out. The players pack came out.
Okay.
Because at the point, Steve, they don't want people to practice and be ready.
Exactly.
That's what you're missing.
Wow. Yeah, so it's on the 12th of November, so that's really close.
I know I won't be able to make it, so.
Oh, you won't?
No, I won't.
So we would need another player.
And yeah, you were the best of us.
Yeah, exactly. You're the only one that knows Ninth Age.
Yeah, the only one who played it.
Uh-oh, our ringer's already out of the picture, guys. But I don't even know how many points they...
Usually it's incremental, so going from, I think, 1,000 to 2,000, something like that. We were playing team games, or 1,500, 2,000, and 2,000, 2,500.
Yeah, I mean, I'd use probably my Chaos Army, because it's the easiest one to build up if I need.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, I don't know what points are like in Ninth Age, so I have no idea.
Yeah, me neither. We should really need to play it at least once.
I probably need to play it more than once. I don't remember how to play fantasy anymore. Like, I'm sure it would come back to me fairly quickly, but...
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much the same, except it's more balanced.
Well, does it use the 8th edition combat resolution stuff?
Yeah.
So the plus one for banner, plus one for charging.
Yeah, there's some other...
plus one for ranks. Okay.
Different bonuses, but yeah, pretty much base is there. Same for magic, it's similar, but with some tweaks.
Is there still the purple joss?
No, it's not. It's changed. All the big spells are
gone because really they broke down. The game?
Yeah, they're toned down. They're still there, but with the toned down effect. Okay.
Because, yeah, any spell that can delete a unit.
Yeah. It's kind of wrong.
Or multiple.
Yeah. Please tell me they fix the Dread 13th.
I don't know. I didn't read the Skaven.
So, that spell used to irritate me so much.
I'm not sure.
just, you know, randomly annihilate whole units, characters and all. Like, what? But I had a 500 point character in that unit. Oh well, they're gone now. Okay. C'est la vie.
Oh, speaking of Warhammer Fantasy, I got news that the creature caster, they're actually going to ship.
For real?
Yeah, the first wave is supposed to ship at the end of the month. And we saw pictures of the miniature.
What was that again?
So creature they do caster. Exist.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Actually, yeah, I'm looking at their website.
So you'll finally have your stuff, Steve?
Yeah, but I don't play anymore, but who knows? Maybe I'll be tempted to do an all-three-man army or something like that.
In Age of Sigmar or in Ninth Age?
Ninth Age.
In Ninth Age, do you know if you can do a combined army, like Chaos Warriors and Demons type thing?
No, you cannot. Oh, they're separate armies.
That's too bad.
Well, you can't play 40k. You can mix anything.
Well, I could play Age of Sigmar and mix anything too, but I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I just thought it'd be a cool thematic army duel. Like my, at the end of Fantasy, I was looking at building a Khorne army where it was, you know, Khorne Chaos Warriors and Khorne Chariots and Bloodletters and a Skull Cannon. Well, a Skull Cannon and the Chariot. What's it called?
Throne of Skull?
Yeah, Throne of Skulls. And it'll be a Bloodthirster and, you know, whatever. Just like a whole Khorne thematic list. But then the game died shortly thereafter, after I assembled all the models before I started painting. So I now have a big bucket of assembled fantasy models. Where I assembled all my Bloodletters wrong.
That's true. Yeah.
Why? How?
I put the spines on their backs the wrong way. Because they fit both ways, and I assembled it one night. We were all here talking, and I did three boxes of Bloodletters, and I put all the spines on backwards.
That's nice.
Yeah, like, whoops. So actually, I think I've got three boxes done the right way and three boxes done the wrong way.
So you can mix and match.
Well, I can identify which unit guys are in.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's perfect.
It's like it's intentional. Yeah? See? Totally not intentional. All right. So let's get back on track here a little bit. And I believe we have our next topic, which is somewhere in the document that I can't find right now because I maybe closed it. Oh, no, there it is. Which
have
is
you entertain yourself?
Yeah. What do you do while you paint?
You paint?
Well, yes, obviously you paint. But what are you doing, like, do you have music playing? Do you listen to podcasts? Do you watch stuff?
Podcast,
what do you do?
Sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, enjoy the show.
That's exactly right. I'll be honest, I think the podcast I listen to most while doing it is our own. Because I used to, when I used to care and I proofed the podcast, when we first started and there was a ton of editing and, you know, I used to sit there and listen to the show like two or three times to catch all the mistakes and catch all the stuff because I was super, super anal about, you know, oh, that pause was more than like a second and a half. So, you know, I got to cut it down and, oh, you know, there's a tick in this part of the podcast. I got to clean that out, which I just don't do anymore. If we have a dramatic pause and we have a dramatic pause and people have
you
to accept it.
Putting too much time on the episode anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's the state? It turned into a second full-time job. I'm like, I can't keep that up.
Yeah, when you have 10 to 15 hours of editing on an hour and a half show.
Yeah, exactly. It was brutal.
And it's not video, just audio.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of brutal. But yeah, so I listened to this, or I used to listen to Garage Hammer back in the day. But lately, I haven't really been doing anything while I hobby. Actually, that's not true. I hang out with you guys. I do Google Hangouts. That's kind of replaced all my other stuff while hobbying.
Yeah, when you guys are available, that's what I do. And if not, I go to my backup options, which are usually podcasts. I've tried doing TV shows or movies, but I'm not a robot like Yom, it seems, and I lose all concentration and stop painting.
Yeah, I'll do shows that I've already seen or movies I've already seen, so I don't have to watch them.
Exactly.
Or shows that are not that good.
Yeah, I know you mentioned that, but why watch them then?
Yeah,
exactly. I prefer
background noise, man. The topic's background noise. So.
Yeah, but I always have 50 to 100 hours of podcast in my queue ahead of me. So there's no need for filler noise when I have stuff that I chose to listen to it.
Yeah, if I just want to listen to something drone on, I'll invite my wife to keep me company while I'm hobbying. I don't need to watch a show. I love you, dear, if you hear this.
Like she would.
I know, I'm pretty safe. And actually, that's totally not her. She's fine to hobby around.
No, I watch a lot of shows on Netflix. But it's only like I will only look at the screen when it's a really either interesting or crucial part or something visually interesting is happening. So sometimes I will look like a show too interesting, like I started listening to Luke Cage while painting. Bad idea. I had to stop painting because that show is super good. And then I started watching Minority Report. See? I can paint online with that. It sucks.
I was going to say, how can you stop when something's visually interesting if you're not looking at it while you're painting?
Well, dude, you can see the flow when, any show, any movie. You can see, you see it in his mind up.
Eyes anyway.
Oh, he sees it in his mind. Exactly.
He
sees
the layer of the show.
Yeah.
His mind actually is like two screens on a computer. So he's got one with like the transparency layers on the miniature so he knows like the roadmap where he's going. And the other one is watching TV. It's like a HUD. Yeah.
I can paint when I drive. I can paint
it. He's got like a heads-up display. Exactly. Yom the robot. Yom la machine.
La exactly. machine.
There's a point to that name, man.
Yeah. But no, but calling you Yom le petit robot.
Le petit robot. you can... You know when there's a build-up in a movie or anything, so you know when something is going to happen.
Yeah, that's true. You can tell by the background music, by the way the scene's playing out. It's the dialogue, right? I suppose.
Yeah. Worst case, you just rewind 5 seconds. Like, oh, you missed something. You just rewind 5 seconds. But yeah. We'll either listen to podcasts or battle reports, watching Netflix, or doing Google Hangouts. But I only do one Google Hangout per week. It's the one with Mark Maxey, my friend. Our friend. Friend of the show. Always listening. Hello, Mark. But I only joined that because, I don't know, there's always like the same people joining. And they're cool people. They paint good. They are interesting. And I don't have to meet them in real life. I don't know. Half of them don't wear pants. I don't know. Wow. No, but seriously, so also with the same people.
Yeah, I did that hangout once, I think. I don't know. The only person I remember being in that hangout aside from you and Mark was Michelle Blastenbray. I don't know who else was in there. Actually, do you know if Mark is going to ReaperCon next week?
No, he's not.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, things got in the way, so.
That is too bad. I was going to bring him maple syrup.
It's not by choice that he's not going.
I know. I understand that, too.
Let's have a little prayer for our friends, Mark. No, it's true. We're in Quebec. We don't believe in that.
Well, speak for yourself, but anyway. Because I've already got a luggage full of, like, maple syrup and bagels for various people.
So do we need to see each other this week so you get more?
Well, I'm it's okay. We're doing a painting hangout, you and I.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
So it all works out?
Yeah, you'll be able to pick up supply.
Mm-hmm. Which I only realized after the fact that it was very handy for that, but
mm-hmm.
it's almost like I planned it. But almost. I didn't.
Give yourself some credit. It's all part of the plan.
Yeah, exactly. It's all part of my plan.
Master plan.
Because I've planned everything. Like last night, I'm talking to Jim Waffle, and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm bringing to ReaperCon to paint. I should probably bring something, because I registered so late. I only registered for the stupid con last night. I forgot to buy my plane ticket.
Next week.
I bought the plane ticket last week, and I had the hotel rooms like months ago. So I'm all kind of disjointed. I realized last night, like, you know, I don't know if I ever bought my ticket. I could not remember if I bought the ticket or not.
So maybe you have to?
Well, no, I eventually figured out my login for the site, because I couldn't remember my login. And I couldn't get the password reset to work. And I finally got around that. And then I'm like, okay, did I buy a ticket? Like, it doesn't say I did. I guess I didn't. So, you know, my itinerary was blank. So I'm like, I guess I don't have one. So I bought the ticket. And I'm like, okay, what classes do I want to take? Oh, they're all sold out. Makes it easy. Excellent.
Yeah.
And then I tried talking to Jim a little bit. And I was asking, like, if he's bringing the Green Stuff World rollers and stuff to the show. And he gave me a Jim Waffle type answer. So it was kind of a little rambly, a little whatever. So. And it was super late, so I fell asleep on him. So.
Whoops. I love you, Jim, but...
Yeah, exactly. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I wasn't in bed yet. And I'm like, hey, by the way, are you... Yeah. One of those things.
Yeah. Any other stuff you are doing while painting?
Just drinking heavily. No, just kidding. Yeah.
Not even.
Yeah. Maybe we should. Maybe it would improve my painting. Make my hands steadier.
Yeah.
So yeah, listening to podcasts, a lot of people do the Netflix in the background and the movies in the background. Our hangouts. Really, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, what else can you do while painting?
Yeah, there's not much more you can do. You're doing something already.
Yeah, exactly. You're kind of focused, right? So everything else is too much of a distraction.
What?
I mean, you could do audiobooks or something, but again, it's kind of like listening to a podcast, right? So you're listening to music. It's all kind of in that same category. You know, I suppose if I was really, really creative, I could like knit with my toes or something while painting with my hands. I don't know, but I think there's only so much you can do.
Might be pushing it.
Well, you don't know how talented I am.
Yeah.
When have you ever seen my toes, right? They might be more dexterous than you know.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. Now that we've killed that topic dead.
We mentioned podcasts and stuff and TV shows. And you mentioned a couple of podcasts. Any podcasts you guys want to promote or shout out to that listen to?
Recommending for painting?
Yeah.
I would say now, Hello from the Magic Tavern.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest to.
Mm-hmm. I'm in Steve's head.
Yeah, listen to them too.
Yeah
for people who don't know, that's an improvisation podcast, and the main host is somebody from Earth who gets stuck into an alternate dimension.
Yeah, in a fantasy
and
world.
And he podcasts from there. Because he's getting really fast over it.
Yeah, he's getting a Wi-Fi signal through the portal.
Yeah.
And, behind the first time listening to this.
Yeah. Luckily, he's also got a wizard friend who has the miniature lightning spell that they use to charge the laptop. Which I thought was funny, because after the first like 5 episodes or something, I was like, how's the laptop still working? You know, there's a giant plot hole in this whole thing. And then they mentioned the miniature lightning spell. And the wizard is like, everyone made fun of me for learning that spell. Look how handy it's coming in now. Like,
okay. Yeah. We all listen to that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of listen on and off because it gets really kind of silly sometimes, so I have to take a break from it. I know it's supposed to be silly, and it's okay it's silly, but sometimes it's a little extreme.
Outside of that, other ones you guys want to mention?
Well, I'm on Chain Attack and News on Mini, so I mostly listen to Hobby Podcast. If I'm not listening to something funny, I will listen to something Hobby related or game related.
Those are game related.
So I also listen to our friend or my friends, quote unquote, of Art7, the French podcast.
Oh yeah.
They always have something mean to say about me. So Paul, you should get along with them.
That's true. You know,
I've never listened, so I don't.
Maybe you should. They always have something mean to say about me.
I'll be honest. It actually has nothing to do with the quality of their show. You know, I know that they know the game, right? You know, it's a War Machine and Hordes podcast. They know the game. I did check out their little Talktoberfest review. I listened to part of that, and the audio quality was really good. But I think because French is not my first language, and while I consider myself to be pretty much bilingual, I have to focus too much to listen and understand what's going on. So I can't do anything else while I'm really listening to them, which is not what I do with podcasts. I podcast. And
they go fast and they don't explain everything. And they switch, like they speak for English.
Yeah, well, that's fine. My family speaks for English and stuff, so that's not really the issue. It's really that I just have to pay attention to what they're saying in order to get the information out of the show. And
which
if I'm driving,
good if you want to drive or paint or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's not conducive to what I'm usually doing when I'm listening to the podcast. Usually, I'm driving around in my car or painting or something, or going to sleep. I listen to podcasts when I go to sleep.
Don't you lose part of the show?
Yeah, but then I just go back to where I was the next morning. Like, what was the last thing I heard? I heard this. So I rewind the show until I get to there. Okay. And I set a timer to finish, you know, in 20 minutes, stop the podcast, because I'll be asleep by then, usually.
Mm-hmm.
So, at worst case, I miss 19 minutes, you know. It's not so bad. I know I can figure out where I was pretty quickly. But again, if you're trying to sleep, you know, focusing on the podcast to understand what they're saying is not exactly conducive to that.
For sure. There's a couple I want to mention. There are other hobby podcasts, so a bit like us talking about painting or more generic and not game specific. So the first one is the Model Workshop After Hour.
Yeah, I was going to say it's whatever Larry's podcast is called. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. There's that one. They cover a lot. They're really, really hobby specific. Less game related and mostly hobby.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Hobby Sofa. That one, they do talk game, but they talk a lot of hobby. And if you are not a big podcast listener, that's fine because they release only 4 a year. So you'll be fine. It's 4 long one, but they only release 4.
Oh, so almost like us. The rate we're going.
Almost.
Yeah.
It's our summer rate of release.
Yeah.
I find them difficult to listen to because of the accent.
Yeah, it's special because you have an American, an English guy, and a Russian guy. So.
That sounds like the start of a joke.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs>
The Russian guy has a really thick accent. It's super interesting, but he has a really thick accent. So you really need to focus on what he's saying.
Yeah.
Especially since it's super interesting. It's like, okay.
Yeah, so those are the two I wanted to shout out to. The two hobby podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Are similar to our style.
Except we don't cuss.
What did you say, Yo?
Except we don't cuss. Well, this works out pretty good, but be warned.
Well, the fact that we're family-friendly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Hobby Sofa is not, I guess, from your...
Hobby Sofa is not too bad. Model Workshop.
Painting with Menoth John, actually, is a pretty good hobby podcast to listen to, too.
Yes.
Not exactly family-friendly, but he's very much all about painting and having fun.
He's a great entertainer.
Yeah, he's actually really, really cool in real life. I got to meet him briefly at Adepticon. And he's just, he sounds in real life exactly like he does in the podcast. The same mannerisms of speaking, that's not his radio personality, that's his personality. What about you, Steve? Do you have a favorite show to listen to?
Actually, I don't listen. I listen to podcasts mostly while I work and not while I paint. And these days I listen to all sorts of Gilball podcasts. I think I have 6 or 7 in my feed, something like that. There's lots of Gilball podcasts out these days.
I was going to say, I didn't know there was that many good Gilball podcasts. I had no idea.
I think there's even more, but those are the ones I have.
Which ones are your favorites?
Gilball Tonight is a good one, I think.
I like that one the best because they are really less competitive focused.
Yeah. Is that the one that has the medieval tavern music when it starts? Yes. That's its opening theme. Okay, yeah, that's the one I have on my feed.
It's the one you have to listen at higher speed.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a slow talker. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the main host is interesting, but slow talker.
And he knows about it, so it's not like we're bad-mouthing him.
It's just his way of speaking, right?
Yeah.
I'll be honest, it doesn't really bother me. I totally see what you guys are talking about when you kind of mentioned it as a warning. But for some reason, it doesn't bother me. Which is really strange, because usually all that type of stuff really annoys me. So I was even hesitant to try the podcast because of the wording. And then it turned out it didn't bother me at all, which made me even more confused.
It's the other way around for me. I have to augment the speed of their cast specifically. But it's okay.
But when I paint, it's mostly music, so I'll just put all my metal music on shuffle. And
I was going to say, the soothing sounds of Slayer while you paint?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, Steve, I never knew you were a metalhead. Until we went to DoubleCon together, and you kept making metal references all the time, I had no idea how much of a metalhead you were.
Metal! This is going to bleed through everybody's ear.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't so bad.
I couldn't do too loud because everybody is asleep here.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mostly listen to metal while I paint or watch Netflix as well.
Makes sense.
These days I'm putting a classic X-Men cartoon from the 90s.
Oh, jeez. We actually have that on DVD here. I'm looking at the shelf full of DVDs of it. And, it did not age well.
No, not really. I'm at the I think the next episode is the start of the Phoenix Saga.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's probably the best part of the series, but really that's not saying much.
I
had such good memories of that show.
Yeah, same
for me.
And then
watching it, I was like, oh my god.
I was young and stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Easily impressed, I guess.
Some cartoons I find hold up better than others.
Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, but that was a different type of cartoon, right? Like, I think for the kids, like, for example, I find G.I. Joe from the 80s and Transformers from the 80s holds up much better than, like, a lot of the 90s stuff did.
Well,
and I don't know why that is exactly, but it just seems it's... The voice acting, I think, was better in a lot of ways. The animation was a little less hokey looking. Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I find that as well. The 80s cartoons are better.
Now, speaking of 80s cartoons on Netflix, I don't know if it's on in Canada, but Robotech is now on Netflix in the States. It might be on in Canada as well. If you want to watch something and wonder how the hell you were ever allowed to watch something as a kid, that is the cartoon for you.
I need a US IP.
No, I think it might be on in Canada.
Really?
On Netflix, yeah.
The
first time you see someone get disintegrated, you're like, oh, okay.
That's how it's going to play out.
Or like the first episode where one of the aliens gets gunned down and climbs out of his robot full of bullet holes and then, you know, wraps his hand around someone's, the giant good guy robot's ankle in like a death grip and then dies and they have to pry his like cold dead hands off of him.
Okay. Yeah, I confirm it's there, the Canadian one.
Yeah,
there's only
one season.
Yeah.
I missed that as a kid, so
yeah, it's kind of horrific. It's kind of horrific sometimes. I mean, there's parts where you're like, oh my god, yeah, please. Like, there's this whole love triangle thing, because it's an anime, right? So
yeah.
There's a whole love triangle thing, but the fighting is cool, the music is kind of cool, except for the girl singing. Interesting note, they had to get the woman drunk to sing for the cartoon.
Really?
Why?
So, because she wouldn't sing. She couldn't sing when she was sober. She wouldn't do it. She was too shy.
Okay.
And the other thing is, that's her real voice. That's not a character voice. The voice of that character is her real voice. I did not think that was humanly possible until I saw her in an interview. And I was like, how did you not get stabbed to death? Like... But yeah, so the voice of Lin-Min-May is real.
Another series I watch while painting is Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I could totally see that, because if you've seen it once,
yeah, exactly.
You're not missing much, right? It's fun, you can kind of reminisce,
well,
you don't
even
really
if
look
you
at
haven't
it.
Seen it, you're not missing much, but still. Yeah.
Speaking of which, Supernatural, great painting show.
Yeah, I can kind of
see that. You've
seen
one episode, you've seen them all.
Yeah, I could totally
see
that.
There's like 10 seasons.
There's a lot of stuff like that. You know, probably things like Eureka and Stargate, if you've seen it. Like, it's just good background noise.
Yeah.
All right. We are running very long at this point because I've gone on a bunch of segues that made no sense. We should probably wrap this up. So any final points or anything before we go?
No, don't think so.
No.
No, I think it's all right.
Well, hopefully the geeks out there found the show at least entertaining to listen to, and hopefully they got some hobby done while we got some hobby done. And I guess we'll be back in a couple weeks. Gents, I wish you all a good night.
Thank you, Paul.
Bye. Cheers.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by La Drave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Zero Budget Geek, a YouTube channel covering board games, video games, and other geek stuff. You'll find Let's Play and How to Play videos of different board games and video games, as well as reviews. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.